Michael Grange, Sportsnet's basketball guy. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good. We were just listening to you talk about the
sounds just like
him. I know.
And he's like, "Do I sound like that?"
Yes, exactly like that. About the market drying up for Lowry, and so what they say he said about not wanting to come back. Do you think he said that, or have things changed?
Well, you know, that was a little bit surprising to me to hear that. So, you know, put it this way, the idea of Kyle Lowry, who's a very smart guy, kind of trumpeting that there's no way I'm coming back to Toronto no matter what the money, that seems like, that doesn't seem like the greatest negotiating position for him to take, even if he was anxious not to come back. You know, and I think there is one way I would characterize it. I mean, I don't think this time last year, as it related to DeMar DeRozan, I think there was very little doubt that he was going to come back to Toronto, and there was a mutual kind of passion, I guess, you might want to say. And I think with Kyle Lowry generally is he's much more, you know, you ask him about loyalty and these kinds of things, and he says, well, I've been traded twice. So I think he's very much, you know, the idea of him coming back to Toronto was there was some room to give on each side, right, in terms of what the Raptors wanted to pay and how long they wanted to pay it and what Lowry is looking for exactly here. But the idea to me that he has shut the door on coming back to Toronto, I find that one bit of a stretch.
And there's always, Michael, there's always some broken telephone between management groups and, you know, we've all overheard conversations or they say, hey, listen, off the record, and then blankety, blankety, blank. Everyone was pretty frustrated after a sweep to Cleveland, after a second round exit, after Kyle's injury. So I don't doubt that clearer heads prevail at a certain point in time. Do you think, based on all this Paul George stuff, what the Cavs did yesterday, would Toronto shift their strategy? Like, would they have been more in, less in on Lowry based on the last 72 hours and what they saw in the finals than they might have been in early May?
I don't think it really changes. I mean, I think, to me, the fulcrum would be maybe Serge Ibaka. I think if you're going to invest heavily in years and dollars in him, then, which, again, there's been a lot of indications that's where they could be headed. You know, it suggests you're building a team to be competitive now. And there's no doubt in anyone's mind that the Raptors are a more competitive team with Kyle Lowry healthy and on the floor. And, you know, I think the tension has always been, you know, you're not worried about year one or year two of a Lowry deal. Year three, you're getting a bit anxious. But four and five, you're like, wow, you really got your fingers crossed. And I think one thing in terms of all the stuff that's happened the last few days or week or so has been not to quote myself, but you did play my clip, is the market, the idea that you're going to be pressured and bid up in order to keep Kyle Lowry, I don't think that's really going to materialize. I think the market's going to be a lot softer than you might have anticipated, say, December when he was, you know, maybe after Steph Curry, well, at the moment, was one of the best shooting point guards in the NBA. So all of which is to say is and now that Paul George kind of floating around out there, I can't imagine why the Raptors aren't working hard to try and put together a deal there, because that's a once in a – when does that ever happen? That you get
just to rent for a year and have a go at it with LeBron still in the East.
It is a rental, but you do get bird rights with him. You do become the team that can pay him the most, and you have a one-year opportunity to make this the best experience he's ever had. And I would say the Raptors and the city of Toronto have come a long way in the NBA in terms of being able to, you know, the history has kind of changed in that regard. When players do come here under whatever circumstances, they tend to really kind of embrace it and be embraced. So all of that to say, I mean, I have no idea at the moment where they are in terms of kind of just by definition, it's a long shot you're going to get a Paul George. But, you know, I don't think you'd want to make that effort and not have Kyle Lowry playing with him.
Talking with Michael Grange, talking basketball with our Sportsnet basketball insider. This is something we've been kicking around for a while now. The Raptors have made it clear, both, you know, management, that they need to be – They need to get into 2017 basketball. They need to be able to make more threes. We know that Lowry's a guy that makes a lot of threes. DeMar DeRozan is not. What kind of three-point shooter does he need to come back as next season? And is that doable? Can he learn to be a different shooter in the NBA?
I might be alone in this, but I know I've talked to people internally, and I'm not convinced when you've got a team that wants to shoot more threes that it really matters how many DeMar DeRozan takes. I think the issue with DeMar DeRozan is how he, and this is where you have struggles with Jonas Valanciunas, is the amount, the spacing that Jonas Valanciunas takes and the spacing that DeMar DeRozan require are often in conflict. And so I think if, you know, when you say taking more threes, I think they took 24 a game last year. If you took 30, all of a sudden you're in the top seven or eight. So let's say their target is 30, 32, which would probably keep them in the top 10 next year. You know, that doesn't mean DeMar DeRozan's got to take four more. I think it means spreading the floor. DeMar DeRozan remains your guy who attacks the rim and gets fouled. And then there are people around him that benefit from the way he can collapse the defense. And I think if the Raptors' goal to kind of become a more so-called modern NBA attack, would probably the easiest way to do that is create more room for DeMar DeRozan to attack the rim, him maybe shoot, take less field goal attempts overall, and distribute some of the shots he doesn't take to better three-point shooters.
So tell me about your observations of the Celtics making this trade, what you think they might do, either a Josh Jackson or you know, De'Aaron Fox on Thursday night at the draft. And I always feel like the Celts should be sort of monitored by the Raptors. I think that I was living in the States then, but you could just cringe for Raptors fans when they traded for Ray Allen, when they got Kevin Garnett, because you're like, this is going to be a lot of pain coming up the next several years. And it was. What do you make of them passing on Fultz? And does this make it more of a commitment, Michael, to Isaiah Thomas, who we talked about at the end of the season and thought, I don't know, if they're going with Fultz, does this mean they don't want to give max money to Isaiah Thomas, who may have had a career year but may not be able to sustain this?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. It's obviously interesting. That's an understatement. I would say I'm more curious what they're going to do with their assets, draft assets as a whole, than what they're going to do with the number three pick, because I mean that's not maybe they are moving off the point guard and they go to a Josh Jackson, more of a wing type player, but you know, as it relates to Paul George, they're in the driver's seat, and that's, you know, as the Celtics have been now for a couple of years now, they are the team that can kind of,
they have the most to give, they have the most to attract George,
significant trade.
Okay.
And that's the one thing that makes me a bit curious, that the urgency to get this deal done on the Monday when the draft is on Thursday suggests to me that maybe they're trying to get in on another major deal, and Paul George would be the obvious one. If not, I mean, they're just in an incredible position in terms of the assets they have to draft with and to build with while we're already being a 53-win team.
Michael Grange, who you can hear regularly on the Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
I want to come over and watch the draft with you Thursday. Can I invite myself? Are there snacks? I want to get your
drinks. If you invited yourself,
picks.
Shouldn't you be bringing the snacks at this point?
Yeah, you're right.
I won't be home.
I won't be, but you can go anyway.
Where are you going to be?
I'll be down at the BioSteel Center.
Oh my God! But there'll be people you're gonna have to tune out, right?
But like you can come, Greg.
I mean, it is an open media. It's an open session.
House. You can walk the dog, help clean up after dinner.
I don't feel like I should be there without you, but okay.